All right, let's open our Bibles this morning first to Matthew 24. I'm going to bring you a message that I delivered recently to our congregation at home. And the title of it for the tape, Sammy, is Divine Election and the effects thereof. When a person comes to believe that God is sovereign in all things, in creation, in providence, in trial, in blessings, that He's sovereign in creation, providence, and salvation, that He saves whom He will by His power and by His grace and by His blood, how does it affect them? What's the results? What are the effects of this powerful, powerful truth, the salvations of the Lord? Well, let's see if we can find out. Now, here's my first point. When we preach divine election, we do not lack for Bible text. The word elect, election, elected, occurs in the Bible 27, 28, 29 times. Let's read some of them. Let's just let God speak to our hearts from His Word about the doctrine of election. First, Matthew 24, verse 22. Our Lord's talking about these last days of apostasy. And except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, lo, here's Christ, or there's Christ, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false preachers, false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, but that's not possible. But there you are, they're God's elect. Now look at verse 31, same chapter, Matthew. Matthew 24:31, and He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect, God's elect, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Don't turn to all of these scriptures, but let me quote several. There's so many. In Luke 18:7, it says this, and shall not God avenge His elect, His own elect? Shall He not avenge, vindicate His own elect, which cry to Him day and night, though He bear long with them? John 15, our Lord said to His disciples, John 15:16, He said, you've not chosen me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. John 17, when He prayed that great high priestly prayer to the Father, He said, Father, Thou hast given me authority over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me. Our Lord prayed that, John 17. I would like for you to turn to Romans 9. I would have you turn in your Bibles to Romans 9 because I'm going to read several verses here. Romans chapter 9, several verses having to do with God's election, divine election. Romans 9, verse 10. Romans 9:10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not works, but of Him that calleth. He chooses, He calls. It was said to her before they were born, the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written in the Old Testament, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now what shall we say then? What's our reaction? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unfair? God forbid. He said to Moses, he told Moses this, I will have mercy. Aren't you glad God has mercy? There's mercy with God. But I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. No one deserves mercy. If it's deserved, it's not mercy. Mercy is sovereignly and freely given. And so he said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth, worketh. It's of God that shows mercy. Mercy's of God. Romans 11, turn over two pages to Romans 11, verse 5. In verse 4, you know, Elijah complained to God. God's prophet complained to God. He said, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one in these parts that believe on you. You realize that? Why don't you just kill me and take me on too? Because there's nobody that believes God but me. Verse 4, what was the answer God gave to that man? I have reserved, now listen, I've got some volunteers out there. No, sir. He said, I have reserved to myself. I reserved them. I chose them. I reserved them. 7,000 men. That's not counting their wives and children. But I've reserved 7,000 men who've not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, Paul said, it may look dark and gloomy to you, but even so at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. All right? At this present time. Verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. What was Israel seeking for? They were seeking for life by their works. They were seeking acceptance with God by what they did, their ceremonies and their sacrifices and their tithes and all these things, and they're keeping the Sabbath. They were seeking to be accepted of God, and it doesn't come that way. Israel has not obtained what he seeketh for, but somebody has. Who has? The election. But the election hath obtained it. The election of God hath obtained righteousness and blood and sacrifice and acceptance with God. And the rest were blinded, left in darkness, not able to see. I am what I am by the grace of God. 110%. Completely. Or 1 Timothy. And the Apostle Paul was, 2 Timothy, was put in jail. He was persecuted and harassed, and at this time he was in jail when he was writing to young Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, this gospel I preach, wherein I suffer trouble because of this gospel as an evildoer, even unto jail, bonds, fetters. But the word of God's not bound. You can't put the word of God in jail. Therefore, I endure all these things, persecution, jail, bonds, harassment. Why? For the elect's sake. I endure these things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You see, how can a man believe except to hear? And how do you hear without a preacher? So Paul said, I'm going to keep taking the gospel because out yonder, God's elect are going to hear it and they're going to believe. And then, you know, the Apostle Peter exhorted us, make your calling and election sure. Let's read that. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I know you're familiar with it. Let's read it again. 2 Peter 1 verse 10. Wherefore the rather brethren, 2 Peter 1 verse 10, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling. God calls. Holy Spirit calls, caused by the gospel, and your election, sure. If you do these things, you'll neither fall. For so an infant shall be ministered unto you abundantly, overflowing into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what is election? All right, what is divine election? I believe Paul answers that question in 2 Thessalonians. Let's turn over there at 2 Thessalonians and see what Paul says here about election. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. What is election? Well, in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, "But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." Well, the first thing about election is God chooses us. He chose us in Christ. The hymn writer said, "Christ be my first elect," God said, and then chose us in our head. We're chosen in Christ. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ, according as he chose us in Christ." That's, we want to establish that first. What is election? God chose us. "'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, that could not be. If thou hast not chosen me, I'd have never chosen thee." I was incapable of choosing God. Let me show you. Turn to, hold that 2 Thessalonians with your finger there and turn to Ephesians chapter 2 a minute. We looked at this in the Sunday school class. But on further down, he describes us by nature. We won't choose God. Christ said, "You will not come to me that you might have life. How would I gather Israel that they would not? He was in the world knew him not. He came in his own received him not." We won't come. And here's our state, Ephesians 2, verse 12. "At that time, in your natural state, born in Adam, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenant of promise, having what? No hope. And what? Without God." Well, that's a bad state, isn't it? Without help, without hope, without God. That's where we were. But he chose us. He chose us. All right, back to 2 Thessalonians. He not only chose us, but listen. Chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, verse 13. "We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, the loved of the Lord." Let me tell you something. We not only didn't choose him, we didn't love him. We didn't love God. God loved us. And God loved us because his nature is love. You remember that verse I read over there in Romans a moment ago when God said to Moses, "I will be merciful"? Moses, there was what they call the tent of meeting. There was this, there was all the tents of Israel around, and out yonder was a tent of meeting. If you read about this in Exodus 32, I believe. Exodus 33. And when Moses would go out there to the tent of meeting to meet with God, to get directions, God spoke to Moses as a friend. God spake to our fathers through the prophets. And when he'd go out to that tent of meeting, all the men would stand in their tent doors and watch Moses go to meet with God. Solemn hour, solemn time. Moses would go out to that tent of meeting. Cloud would be over that tent. And God spake to Moses. And Moses asked God for three things in this particular chapter, Exodus 33. He said, "Lord, show me your way. Show me your way." You know, in Psalm 103, it says God made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The children of Israel saw God's acts, judgment, dividing of the sea, death of the firstborn. They saw the acts. Moses saw why God did it, the ways of God. He made known his ways to Moses. Show me your way. Christ said, I am the way. The people of God in the book of Acts were called the people of the way. Remember that? If they found any people of this way, Paul said, I'd kill them. Saul of Tarsus. Show me your way. Secondly, he said, Lord, if you don't go with us, don't let us go. Show me your way. But if you don't go with us, don't let us go. And then he asked the third question. He said, show me your glory. Lord, show me your glory. And God said, I'll cause my goodness to pass before you. My glory is my goodness. And I will be merciful. And I will be gracious. See, God's nature is holiness. I know that. God's nature is justice. God's nature is righteousness. But let me tell you something. God is love. God is love. And love has to be expressed. This is believers, the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. And they have to love people. God gives us a nature to love Him and His people. He said, if any man love not, he knoweth not God. For God is love. See, it's the nature of God. We're not loved by our fallen nature. We love because of our new nature. You see what I'm saying? So God said, I will be merciful. God, I will be just. I will punish sin. I will not clear the guilty. But I will be merciful. This is election. God says, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. It's sovereign. So God chose us and God loved us. We didn't love Him. He loved us first. We love Him because He loved us. So you didn't start out loving God. He started out loving you. Christ didn't come to get God to love you. He came because God loved you. For God so loved, He gave. He didn't give and then start loving. He said, I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to be just. I'm going to be righteous. But I'm going to show my love. And then thirdly, look at that 2 Thessalonians 2:13 again. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. Election, God chose us because God loved us and He did it before we were born. Somebody said, election is God saw who would believe and He chose them. That's not honest. That's taking credit for doing something you didn't do. You see, the things in time depend on the choice of God in eternity. The choice of God in eternity doesn't depend on what happens in time. What happened in time depends on Him who ordained it. God did from the beginning choose you. Before there was a world, before there were the stars and the moon and the sun, before all things, there was the Lamb slain. There was a people for whom He was slain. He wasn't just the Lamb slain for no reason. Why would He be slain? He was slain for a people. So God did from the beginning. And His covenant, His election, His grace, and what happens in time depends on what He decreed in eternity. What is election? All right, look at it again. God chose us. God loved us. And God chose us and loved us. He loved us and chose us from all eternity. And He did it that we might be like Him. Look at verse 13 again of 2 Thessalonians. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. To salvation. Election is not salvation, it's to salvation. It's to salvation. Through the sanctification, the divine quickening, awakening of the Holy Spirit, and belief of the truth, whereby He called you by our gospel, unto the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, let me show you an example of this over in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. This is so interesting what our Lord says. The statement our Lord makes here that is so very interesting. In Luke 19, verse... Well, you know the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a publican. Zacchaeus was hated by the people. He was a Jew who worked for the Romans. Some of you are old enough to remember in World War II, some of the French people worked for the Germans, and they were despised. There were some women that collaborated with the Germans, and after the Germans were driven out of France, they shaved their heads and marched them naked down through the streets. People hated those people. Quislings, they called them, who collaborated with the Germans. Well, Zacchaeus was a hated Quisling who collaborated with the Romans, a publican, a tax collector. He was a Jew, but he was collaborating with the Romans against his own people. And he wanted to see this man Jesus. This man Jesus. When our Lord Jesus Christ came through, he was short of stature. There was such a crowd there. He ran ahead the way our Lord was walking, climbed up in a tree so he could see. And when our Lord came under that tree, listen, verse 5. Luke 19, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, nobody introduced Zacchaeus to the Lord. Zacchaeus wasn't sitting there wearing a nameplate. The Lord knew him. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Today I must abide at your house. What? The most despised man in the whole place? I must. The Son of Man must. Other sheep I have, them I must bring. Listen, let's read on. And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. That's one of the effects. I'm going to show you that in a minute. And when they saw it, when the religious people saw it, they murmured. They said, well, he's gone to be the guest of a man that's a sinner. Worst man out here. Zacchaeus stood, and he said, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation. Salvation? Eternal life? Eternal glory? Come to this house? What's the statement? For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Was the Lord talking about him being a Jew? No, sir. There were thousands of Jews there. But this man is a son of Abraham. Galatians says, they that are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. They that are of faith. You see, God chose this house. And Christ came to this house. And salvation came to this house. And this house believed. He believed. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. If God, from all eternity, loves and chooses a house, the Spirit of God is going to come to that house. And the gospel is coming to that house. And that house will receive the Lord. He received him gladly. How does a person know if he's one of God's elect? Well, turn back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. How does a person know he's God's elect? Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4. Do you have it? Paul said, I know. He's writing to the Thessalonians. He said, I know you're God's elect. How do you know they're God's elect, Paul? Well, listen. Because our gospel came to you. Our gospel came to you. God sent the gospel to you. He sent the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. He sent the gospel to the Philippian jet. The gospel. Not a gospel, the saving gospel of God's grace. Our gospel came to you. How did it come? In power. Whose power? God's power. The Holy Spirit's power. And in the Holy Ghost. quickening and in much assurance. It came to you meeting your need, saving your soul, and you knew it. A fellow said to me one time, said, "Well, I need to talk to you. How do I know when I'm saved?" I said, "How do you know you're lost?" He said, "God showed me I was lost." I said, "God will show you you're saved too. That gospel will come. You want to make you in assurance. You say, that's it. That's it. That's the gospel. In much assurance, you know what manner of men we were among you. And secondly, verse 6, you became followers." That's how a man knows he's God's elect. He loves God. He loves God's people. He becomes a follower of the Lord and of his people. And you received the word. And you received it in much affliction. Folks will start shooting at you when you believe the gospel. They'll start shooting at you. They'll find fault with you. We had a fellow saved, brought to the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord. He was pretty rowdy and rough. He had a bunch of brothers and sisters raised up in the mountains of eastern Kentucky. And the Lord, "Barnard, you say he's well saved." The Lord saved that old boy. I mean, he loved the grace of God, the gospel of God's grace. You know what his brothers and sisters said to him? "We liked you better before you saved." "We liked you a whole lot better before you saved. Because you're like us. But you're different. If you were of the world would love you. But Christ said, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you." The world hates those whom he chose. "I have chosen you out of the world." If he hadn't chosen you out of the world, they don't hate you. That's exactly right. But the world, if you were of the world would love you. But I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. But it hated me before it hated you, he said. In verse 7, you were examples. That's what Rick was reading a while ago. And what he said in his prayer, God changes people, doesn't he? He saves them. He makes them new creatures. You become examples. Old Brother L.R. Shelton used to say, if God saves a man, the old yellow dog in the backyard will know it. He won't kick him so much. He'd be better to his dog. He'd be better to his wife, to his children, his neighbor. Like that scripture you read. Wisdom's Christ, isn't it? And when you have Christ, you're different. You're generous and kind. And not by nature we're not, but by grace we are. I love that chapter. And everybody saved loves that chapter. It's a delight. And you become examples. In verse 8, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Verse 9, the last line. Look, you turn to God from your idols to serve the living God, and you're waiting for Christ to come. That's how you know you've got to let. He said, listen, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them life. That's how you know. All right, here's the closing remark now. What are the effects? You know, I tell you what effect election has on some folks. It makes them downright mad. It brings out the worst in them. They just, oh, my goodness. I've had some of the things I've had said to me are same things they say to you. They're unprintable. One man said after I finished preaching a sermon in his church, he's pastor, white-haired man, I preached on For Whom Did Christ Die? For the elect. And I left there, and the members told me later that he got up in the pulpit the next service. And he said, I'll tell you this, old brother Denny, M.C. Denny, white hair, 70 years old, I guess. He said, if Christ only died for the elect, he's no savior of mine. That mean. One man said to Barnard one time, your God's my devil. Well, our God reigneth. Say to the heathen, our God reigneth. And I'll tell you the effects. When you come to see God's on the throne, absolutely sovereign, saves whom he will, by his grace, by his mercy. Something happens. Number one, you glorify God. You glorify God. What's the chief end of man? To glorify God. That's the chief end of man. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. You praise God. You give Him the glory. You give Him the credit. You know, that's how you know if a man's preaching the gospel, who gets the glory? Who gets the glory in his message? If I'm preaching this morning, who am I glorifying? God. Giving Him all the credit, praise, and glory. A person talking about his experience, how God saved him. How do you know whether he's saved or not? Who gets the glory? Look at 1 Corinthians 1.